Today on the Football Fill-In, we have got Premier League 100 Club member Darren Bent. Yes, England lost. It was disappointing. But let's get a little bit of perspective back. It's not the end of the world. It was only a friendly, OK? We asked the big questions, though. Will Kobbie Mainoo be starting for England at the Euros? I certainly think he will. Declan Rice, why does he play a slightly different role for England as what he does for Arsenal? Also, we've got some massive Premier League, Champions League and FA Cup predictions. Paul Robinson, who's normally on the sofa, couldn't be with us today because he has taken up a job role at Birmingham City as coach. Shout out, Robbo. Well done, mate. Absolutely buzzing for you. And finally, on the sofa with us today, we've got former Bournemouth and Leicester player Danny Thomas, giving us a little bit more perspective about this all. So we'll fill in.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Right, Benty, a lot of people not happy with Gareth Southgate after this performance. A disappointing 1-0 loss. What do you make of it all?
Listen, Brazil, first of all, you've got to give them respect. I don't think it was ever going to be a walkover. I know it's not maybe the Brazil of old with some of the household names, but I probably would have expected a bit more. But do you know what? I think we learned so much more from England playing in this particular fixture and getting beat than we would when we play San Marino and Albania and these teams. Yeah. You don't learn anything.
Yeah.
So listen, maybe we're not quite there yet and maybe our squad's not as strong as we maybe once thought it was, but still, Brazil are a great side. We still had opportunities to win. But Belgium, they've got to put it right because you don't want to go into a major tournament off the back of two defeats.
Danny, Benty just said there we learned a lot from this game and I totally agree with that, but I don't know whether it's a good thing that we learned it or not because I'm now, it's like there's more questions. We've got more questions from this game than we did answers. What do you think?
Definitely more questions, more doubts. I think we have learned a lot of things and there's obviously more doubt there. But at the same time, there were a lot of key players missing for me. And I think we didn't capitalise on our chances. A lot of our chances came from set pieces and obviously we got punished for obviously not jumping on those set pieces. And for me, it's one of those, I always think England are a little bit tentative. I don't think we get the best of our out of our key players like Foden and that. It's just a bit frustrating sometimes and it's obviously happened in the past with the likes of Hoddle. I'm going back a little bit, but Hoddle and Scholes and players like that. So Joe Cole as well. So, but yeah, I mean, going forward, we need to obviously capitalise on the next game. Got Belgium coming up and obviously that's a game that I'd say we need to win, essentially.
So we're shooting this on a Monday. We've got Belgium in a couple of days' time. It's going to be really interesting to see what formation, what team we play. Well, we probably know what the formation is going to be. I've always been somebody, right, who thinks if you've got the best players, you're going to win the game. I've always thought that, right?
Yeah.
My big worry with England is, right, that I know we have probably got the best players, yeah? Mm. But if the formation don't suit, if the style of play don't suit, it just goes to show we lose 1-0 to Brazil because defensively we aren't brilliant, are we, Benny?
Do you know as well, and that might come down to the manager, because I'm with you on that. I think if we were to set up in a way where all our best players are on the pitch,
yeah,
let them worry about us. I think for so long now, listen, what Gareth Southgate's done for England, he's done a lot of positives in terms of uniting the nation. Obviously, when we were in the squad, the press and the players, we weren't on the same
page.
It's horrible. I think he's united all of that, but he's almost forgot that, right, I've got to win something. So it's like, I'm going to appease all these other people, but if we've got the Fodens, the Sakas, the Canes, I would let them worry about us. But we're so worried about, well, look what they do well, that we almost play within ourselves. Now, the only one I see, certainly, every single time he puts on an England shirt that plays with that freedom is Jude Bellingham.
Yeah.
He plays the exact same way as he would play for Real Madrid. But I think he's probably one of the only ones. I think Declan Rice plays well, but still not the same Declan
it's
Rice.
It's a different role, isn't it, than what he plays to Arsenal?
Exactly. And I think until Gareth kind of takes the handbrake off and lets his players go, I think it's going to be a lot of what-ifs for until maybe he leaves that role.
Do you think we can do that, though? Do you think we can take the handbrake off? Because I get the impression that England is a bit more pressurised than playing in the Premier League. I get the impression that they don't really want to let the handbrake off when it comes to England. They'd rather play it as a game of chess, do you know what I mean? And kind of just outbore the opposition, outwork them that way.
I think for me as a player or a former player, I always played best when I had the shackles off.
Yeah.
You've got a manager just saying, just go and get on the ball. You're going to make mistakes, but just get on it again. Defenders hate players that are running at them. And we've got players that can do it. We've got the Sakas, we've got obviously the Canes and all the Fodens and all those. Just let them go and play. We've got the players that can obviously nullify other midfield teams and other defenders and whatever else. But I just think from an attacking perspective, I think we just need to do more. We're not... Defensively, we've got the players that can obviously defend. It's just about obviously continuing to do that throughout the whole 90 minutes of the game. And I think we looked a bit weak when we played against Brazil at the back.
Do you know as well, Fozzie? It's one of those where Gareth's had that many friendlies to experiment with it and go, do you know what? We're playing, or even the lesser opposition, just go and play.
Yeah.
But the fact he's reluctant, he always wants that two holders and that one Bellingham free.
Yeah.
Like if he'd have tried it in friendlies, then by the time you get to a major tournament, you might go, well, there's an option B here. So, do you know what? We can't go and play that way. But because he's been so reluctant to do that, we're almost stuck in this...
It has to be that now.
There has to be it.
There's
no other way of playing.
Well, Conor Gallagher, the other night, he didn't really play as like a hold in midfield, did he? And that's I understand that's not really his game either, though, to be fair. He is a bit more box-to-box and he will get... But he wasn't that kind of guy that would just happily sit in there. Which leads me to think that calling Kobbie Mainoo into the England squad... And even though he's 18 years old, 19 years old, he's, you know, wet behind the ears still. He's only played like a handful of Premier League games. But I still think there's a genuine chance that when we get to the Euros, that kid's going to start.
100%. I think as well, because of that, you say lack of experience, sometimes that's a good thing. That's a blessing in disguise. Yeah. He's got no pressure on him, so he'll just go and do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that works well.
Yeah.
But you just need to know when to utilise that type of player, because obviously you're going into a tournament, it's obviously different to playing in the league.
It's almost like Rooney 2004, mate. Yeah, they let him off the leash. He was like, oh my goodness, what's going on here?
Yeah.
He didn't even care. He didn't know what was going on. He was just like, I know that when I get the ball, I want to bully people. I want to score goals, simple 100%. As that. Benty, what do you make of the forward line? Obviously, Harry Kane missing, which I think personally a lot of people say Jude Bellingham is our most important player. I think it's Harry Kane.
I'm with you. I
think it's Harry Kane. I think he offers that real star power that when the opposition see Harry Kane up there, I think, if I slip up today, if I'm not on it 110%, that guy will sniff it out and he'll take advantage of it as well. Yeah. That's what I think. What do you make of Ollie Watkins' performance?
Do you know, I think he did okay, and it's difficult. And do you know what's funny? I've been that centre forward against the Brazil team, mate. It's hard, like really hard, especially the way that they play and the way that they defend. And I do think there's been a bit of an overreaction to the chance that he missed, because anyone who's watched football could clearly see that when he went to shoot, the defender got a touch first. Yeah. And you know when he goes to kick it, and it comes off the top and goes over. And I've read some reports, people saying he missed the sitter. Come on,
it's not a sitter.
Like it's good defending. He's got his toe in the end. Mm. But listen, I don't want people to look at Watkins' performance in one game against Brazil and it detracts from what he's done for Aston Villa this season, because he's been outstanding. Yeah. But I want to see him get another opportunity, but it looks like now it's Ivan Toney's time to step up, because he'll get the opportunity against Belgium. But still, Watkins, all he can do now is get his head down from now to the end of the season for Aston Villa, keep scoring, keep creating opportunities for his teammates, keep assisting, and he can't get left behind. Because, I've been there again, scored 20 goals plus in a season and got left behind. At least he can look himself in the mirror and go...
Well, what's that like? What is that like when... You get that chance as the reserve striker for him.
Yeah.
What's that like when you get that chance and you don't go and take it, and you know there's another guy waiting just behind you to come in and take that chance as well?
Do you know what? It's a difficult one, because even when you're the reserve striker, as you said, you're almost like you're a reserve striker with about five others. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like...
one of the reserves.
Do you know what I mean? It's not even like it's Kane, then you, and then it's like you're part of a batch of strikers. And again, when you play, you get your opportunity and you play 60 minutes and you come off, it's like, oh... Here we go. And then all you can hope is that I go back to my club side, put the performances in, and then I'll get another opportunity. But for Watkins, I know full well, he would have forgot about all the good he's done at Villa.
Yeah.
That moment he would have finished that game, we'd have been like, oof.
Is it more nervous playing for England than it is playing for your club team?
Yeah, of course. 100%, because the expectation is a lot higher. It's a lot of people expecting from all different corners of the globe, like not the globe, England, going, right, is he good enough? Is he good enough? And it's almost like they're looking for a reason to doubt you, rather than the other way, going, well, I hope he does well. And what were the positives? It's almost like, right, what did he do badly?
And that gets in your head a little bit.
100%. You can't help but think that.
This is why I think that's why Kobe Manu, I think why there's a chance that he's going to start in the Euros, because I still think he's so oblivious to all that stuff yet. It's not even entered his sphere that the world are watching. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, people are expecting of him.
Well, he came on, he had a little cameo, didn't he? He did that little
skill really well,
and
that, didn't
and
he's like, 20 minutes,
it seemed
perfect.
Like a natural, didn't he? Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, for me, it's sometimes just like, let players just go and do what they need to do. And that fearless factor, I think that helps a lot.
Do you know what? That'll help Gareth as well if he does that. Because if Manu starts, Declan Rice the last 6 weeks has been playing number eight for Arsenal. Yeah. Jorginho's been playing. Yeah. All you do is push Declan Rice forward. There's your three. Bellingham, Rice and Manu.
Unfortunately, though, there is a damning stat that England's results against top 10 ranked teams is awful. 22%, lads. 22%. Six wins in 27 matches. That screams of a team that hasn't won a championship for a long while, doesn't it?
Do you know what it does? And I think that's what England have to get over that hump. Is that they need to beat someone who they're expected not to beat because that's what they've come short in. I mean, they were expected to... I think they were expected to beat Italy, kind of, but didn't get...
In the final.
In the final, didn't get the job done. Yeah. France, I thought we had a great opportunity.
Definitely.
Beating them, didn't get over that line. Yeah. And it's happened before Croatia and places before that. So I think until England could do that, they'll never move forward. And I think that's in their head. I think mentally it's in their head. They get up against a France and they go... We can't beat them.
Yeah.
When they've got the squad to beat them.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Defo in your head. 100%. I've been there as a player, and you guys have as well, where you're playing against a team that you think, oh, we always struggle against this team. Naturally, no matter how kind of mentally strong you are, it's there. That little seed is there. And like Benny says, until they get over that hurdle of, yeah, we're coming up against France, and yeah, we've overcome France, we beat France, we beat whoever, then obviously we're always going to be stuck on that kind of level where we think,
you ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Not too sure, and I think that just naturally creep in. I think that's
just get over that line. That's all we need to do, guys. Is just get over that line. Like I say, though, this game for me, more questions than answers. That is a real problem. Left back, we've got to talk about Ben Chilwell's performance. He got a little bit of abuse for it, a little bit of criticism in media. I don't think he played that badly. I think defensively he was sound. I just think that going forward, there were a few opportunities that he didn't really sort of like come up on, did he?
Yeah, normally, I mean, I think there was one cross where he just crossed it over and he just kind of went out of play. But normally, from an attacking perspective, that's kind of one of his strong points, isn't it? It's been out for a while as well, so coming back into the team is quite difficult, especially at international level. But for me, yeah, Ben Shaw's, he's up there. He'll be there. He'll be fine. Just needs a few more games.
Yeah, if Luke Shaw's not fit, is he starting at the Euros?
I think a lot depends on Kieran Trippier.
Yeah.
I think Gareth likes Trippier right back or left back. Chilwell, just with the injuries and the inconsistency he's shown over the last couple of seasons, he might not play, but he should be on the plane.
Yeah, he'll be there.
He gives you that natural width, doesn't he?
He'll be there.
Is that a worry when you're taking a player like a Ben Chilwell to a tournament where you know that he's got an injury record, you know that it's likely he might pick up something, whereas in a major tournament, you almost want a settled team, don't you? You want a team you know you can rely on that are going to be there for the group stage, then the semis. And
I think in any tournament, there's always going to be one or two injuries.
Yeah.
And it's normally one or two or at least one that's in the starting 11.
Yeah.
And you need that person to step in and obviously fill that void. It's naturally going to be a worry for Southgate with Chilwell. Over the years, like you said, last couple of seasons have been a bit up and down in terms of injury, and obviously coming back into the team, it's always difficult to obviously pick up where you kind of left off. So, but yeah, for me, he's on the plane, but yeah, don't know who's going to be kind of the nailed on left back for me. I'm not too sure.
Well, do you know who would have been on the plane or would have had an opportunity? Rico Henry.
Yeah,
he was. Oh, 100%.
Because he was playing well.
He was on fire, wasn't he?
Fire for Brentford.
Yeah.
And then to get that injury.
Horrible.
For sure he would have played by now. He would have 100% played.
We did Ben Mee on the Foscast, didn't we, lads? Did Ben Mee on the Foscast, he spoke glowingly about it. In fact, he was buzzing
so
off it.
Yeah. Up and down as well, up and
absolutely
down.
Absolutely buzzing off
full it. Full 90 minutes. Well.
Yeah, absolutely gutted for him. One player that definitely is on the plane, John Stones. However, we don't know who is... Well, we kind of do, but we don't really know who's going to be fully partnering alongside him in that centre-back pairing. Harry Maguire obviously started against Brazil. Didn't have his greatest of games. Got lucky on a few occasions. Didn't get punished. But it's going to be him, isn't it? It's got to be Harry.
Yeah, for me, just based on history alone, everyone knows that Southgate loves him. Normally in a tournament, that's when he steps up.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He's always been like one of our kind of most solid players, especially in the back four. So for me... Yeah, I think he'll be playing alongside John Stones, definitely.
What do you make of his performance last night, Benty?
Again, it's one of those where his lack of game time may be starting to catch up with him a little bit. Because you're right, in major tournaments, he has been good. But when you look at some of the mistakes he's made, it's cost England at times, like France game, for instance, losing Giroud. That was his man, lost him. Giroud scores the header.
Yeah.
Listen, he's played really well for England. No one could ever say he's not. But it gets to a point where you've got to make a change. And John Stones has been fantastic for Manchester City.
Yeah.
But Gareth has shortly got to be looking at that position again. Especially if you're left back, you don't know who your left back's That side of the pitch, all of a sudden, you're going vulnerable.
Yes. Who else can fill that void, though? Who else can step in and do that job instead of Harry Maguire that you know you can trust in a major tournament?
And I think that's where we're struggling because there's no particular one player.
There's no one standing out, is there?
Springs to mind, yeah.
Lewis Dunk obviously came on. You know,
I like Lewis Dunk, though. He's like an
old school very solid, defender, very dependable.
But he can play as well for me. Yeah.
Brantwaite on that side, maybe left footed. Bit early for him, maybe. We're talking about Mainoo starting, but then you can't have a Mainoo and a Brantwaite. Exactly. I think Gahey would have had an opportunity, but he's had the big injury at Crystal Palace, so that's a struggle. But I get what you're saying, that there's no immediate replacement.
Yeah.
But still, at some point, you've got to look at that seriously and go,
yeah.
I know he's been good for me in the past, but we're going into a major tournament. He can't keep making mistakes because you get punished. At some point, you'll get punished.
I just think it's too late in the day, lads.
100%
too late in the day.
For me, based on Southgate, and he seems quite kind of... set in his way, so to speak, I think he'll just leave it until there's something that happens in a game where it's going to cost us. And say, for example, Maguire makes a mistake and it's cost us a game, then that's when he'd maybe look into making a change.
Or maybe change the shape.
That's never going to happen. He won't change the shape. No chance on this earth. One thing I do worry about, though, is when we're playing these better teams, these Brazils, the Germanys, the Frances, that they will target our left backs, our left centre backs. Then that's the positions they'll be going, right, boys, get into there. Killian, go and run in there. You play on his shoulder. Yeah. That's the position that they're going to be targeting.
That ball over the top is a killer, for me, anyway.
Well, that size Dembele, isn't it? And he from France, and he's obviously as quick as they come.
There you go.
Right, let's talk about a few of the players that have got an outside chance of making that plane for the Euros. I'm going to start with Anthony Gordon, lads. What do you make of his performance, Benty?
Thought he played well. Yeah. Really showed no fear. I think there were a few question marks about him being in the squad, saying that maybe it'd come a bit soon, but I think he's had a really good season for Newcastle, who've been inconsistent. I think he's been consistently good, so yeah, I was pleased with his performance.
Jared Bowen came on, what do you think of him?
Pretty solid. I like him as a player. Yeah. He always seems like
something... Hard work. Like,
hard work, busy. Really good, he's obviously come from the lower leagues as well, so he's got that mindset, and he's always, obviously, running in behind and stuff, and like I said earlier, defenders hate that, so yeah, for me, decent.
Ezri Konsa, he made his little cameo, didn't he, as well? Kyle Walker, a right back, not his obviously preferred position, but
he played there quite a lot for Villa though, at times. I think I like him, you know.
Yeah.
I really like him. He looked comfortable considering against Brazil, so I think he'll be on the plane because he's versatile.
And Joe Gomez as well.
Same, similar vein as Ezri. To be fair, like obviously he's got that experience anyway. I know he hasn't been in the camp for a few years, but playing consistently well for Liverpool. So for me, I think he'll be on the plane. Again, versatility, he can play anywhere along that back four, can't he? So, I think he'll be there.
You know, he could be a centre-back, you know?
Yeah. Joe Gomez.
Him and Stones.
Yeah.
Got the pace, strong.
Yeah.
As you said, versatile.
Yeah.
He could be one, Joe Gomez.
Joe Gomez ain't going to score you no goals, and he ain't
But
I know what you're saying, at least. Before we move on, we're going to talk about Premier League in a minute. We're going to talk about a little bit of Championship talk in a bit as well. But just want to build our quick England team before we move on. I think at the moment, as it stands, there's probably about two or three positions that are up for debate. The rest of it picks itself. So starting in goal, Jordan Pickford, agreed, lads?
Agreed.
Yeah.
At right back, Kyle Walker?
Yeah.
Are we happy with that? John Stones?
Yeah.
Centre back, who is it?
Maguire for me. Just based on history alone. Yeah, for me. Yeah. it.
I'm going to go Gomez.
I'm
going to go Gomez.
I like it. All right. Another position that's up for debate. Left back. Who would you want to start at the Euros? I personally would want Luke Shaw.
Same. If he's fit,
but we're not sure, are we?
100% sure, Luke Shaw.
Even then, if Luke Shaw gets 3 games in before the end of the season, is that enough? We're happy with that?
He's always good for England. He's always good. Always.
All right, cool. So if we're saying we're playing two holders in the midfield, who are we taking? Declan Rice and...
It's a tough one.
As it stands today.
I'm going Trent.
He's never going to do that.
I'm telling you now.
It's a good shot, but I don't think... Yeah, Southgate...
He's never going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not... Yeah, for me, nah.
I understand what you're saying.
I would... Yeah, I'd love to see it happen, but yeah... I just think Southgate's a bit too cautious.
Without doubt, he's too. It's never going to happen.
Well, Calvin Phillips then?
This is what I'm saying. Are we going to start Calvin Phillips ahead of Kobe Mainoo?
I was thinking about this on the way in. I think if Calvin picks up his performances over the next, I don't know, however many games are left, I think he'll start. He'll be on the plane anyway. I think he was left out just to give a couple of other players an opportunity and make him think, well, I need to obviously... Up my game, essentially. So I think he'll be going anyway for me. But yeah, I don't know. He's been there and done it, hasn't he? So
I'm sticking with Trent in there. Sticking with that.
It's never going to happen.
I think I bet it happens.
I'd love to see it happen. It's a great shot.
100 quid.
Go on in.
That's so easy. That's so easy. All right. So we're still undecided on the other holder. Obviously, we've got Jude up in there. Okay. I like it, Jay. I think Kobe Mainoo will start.
Do you think so?
Am I Trent's rogue and you've gone with that one?
Yeah, I think Kobe will start. I really do. I think he's going to start against Belgium in a couple of days' time. I think he'll...
I can see that.
Mate, I know he's played... I think he played 13, 14 games for Man United this season, right? And any time I've watched him, for an 18-year-old, genuinely blows my mind. He, again, like we spoke about earlier, about that Rooney when he was into...
Yeah,
he just don't seem to care, mate.
No, and
do you know, like, body language and like facial expressions and stuff like that?
He doesn't seem fazed, does he?
No, he don't give anything away, lads. He don't give anything away. His body is always the same, his body language, and his facial expressions just look like this is what he does.
Yeah,
like, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Seems like he's got great like game understanding.
Yeah, part, really like. Good.
He's
really
got a bit
good.
Of everything, hasn't he?
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so that's out. Obviously, Jude starting in the 10. Harry Kane up top,
of course, stop.
And then on the wings, who are we talking?
Saka, Foden.
Simple. Simple as that, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Like I say, it's fairly straightforward. There are two or three, though. You know, there's two or three that between now and the end of the season is going to be a spicy little running to see who gets in those positions. Right, lads, before we move on to a bit of Prem talk, you might have noticed I am wearing the brand new England shirt here, the away shirt. How nice is it, by the way?
Decent. Yeah, I like it.
Nice little detail and nice stuff, isn't it? Yeah. A lot of controversy in the media, though, because Nike have been playing about with the St. George's Cross. In the back of this one, it's not actually on the outside, but on the inside, it's the kind of the different colours. On the home shirt, it's a bit more evident. You can see it. It's on the outside. A lot of people not happy with this. A lot of people not happy with this. Are they right to be unhappy, Benty, or is it a little bit of a storm in a teacup?
Storm in a teacup. I mean, I looked at it and it didn't faze me one bit. Like, it's one of those where... If it was the Three Lions, I'd understand that.
Yeah.
But like, we've played around with kits before. I'm pretty sure they've done stuff with the flag.
It takes on stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. No, I just think people are just making it a bigger than it needs to be. At the end of the day, it's some people might not like. If you're more patriotic than maybe I am, I can understand the uproar. But for me, I look at it and it doesn't faze me one bit. Yeah. So I just can't understand why people are so angry about it. It doesn't make no sense.
People just like to be angry though, don't they, Danny?
People love to like voice their opinion, don't they?
Yeah.
I just think some people like got too much time on their hands. I agree with you though. I mean, to be honest, there's no real need to change it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great distraction as well. I think I'll be more focused on the price. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. What is it, Jamie? 130 quid this was? 130 quid for a football kit, eh, lads? What were football kits when we were kids? What were they? Do you remember?
30, 40 quid. We were saying 30, earlier, 40 like, yeah.
30, 40 quid. Now, this hasn't got no names on it or anything. If you want the names and you want the badges printed and stuff like that, it's like, what? 150 odd quid? For a shirt?
That's crazy.
That's just for the shirt,
lads. Not even the kit.
Not even the full kit. I'm with you, lads. I think Nike probably should have left it alone to start with. It's not a thing that needs tampering with. But... I think we live in a society nowadays, lads, where people get the choice whether to be like offended by something or not. And they can choose whether to or whether not to. Mm. Like, you could say, I don't like your shirt, Ben. And I could start crying. And I could, or I could go, I don't care. And that's move on, right? Yeah. And I just think people nowadays, they just would rather choose to be offended.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah?
But you know what's funny is that Nike are clever what they do. I mean, they've been doing it for years, haven't they?
Yeah.
Controversial campaigns here and there. They're smart at that company. They would have known.
Of course, it's great marketing. We're talking about it now, like 3-4 days later. So, yeah, they know what they're doing. It's not by accident, is it? These things don't get signed off. It's not two people sitting in front Adobe and just messing around.
We're talking hundreds of people. Yeah.
Getting signed off by multiple different people along the process. So, yeah, for me, they know what they're doing. They're not stupid, are they?
There's been a couple of banging kits been brought out. Like, we are going to talk about Premier League. A couple of banging kits. The Brazil, they've redone the R9 kit. Do you remember?
R98.
The day? Oh, my gosh. Beautiful. We're getting that one, Jamie. And also the France kit. I don't know if you've seen this one, lads. France kit has got this massive cockerel. Like, they're normally got this nice little tidy FFF, like, and all that. Massive cockerel this time round. But some banging kits just been launched anyway, so go and check them ones out. Right, Premier League talk, boys. Premier League talk. Bensy, I'm going to come to you because you're a big Arsenal fan and you are convinced, I hear it every day on TalkSport, that Arsenal are going to win the league. It's as simple as that. But did you know that the Opta supercomputer, right, has given Man City a 46.8% chance of winning the league, Liverpool a 35.5% chance, and your Arsenal boys only a 17.7% chance of winning the league. What do you make of that?
Yeah, listen, I understand it. When you look at Arsenal's away fixtures that they've got, they've got to play some tough games. And also as well, them two have been there and done it. These two have been battling. Liverpool and Manchester City have been battling for the last, 6-7 years. Mm. Them two are like, trying to win the league. So they've got that experience. So I can understand why they'd be ahead of Arsenal. But listen, Arsenal, they're on merit. Maybe last year's what happened to them last year has put them in good stead this year. But I think they've got a great chance. I still said before, I think they've got a better chance winning the Champions League than the Premier League.
Really?
Yeah, but listen, they're in the mix. They've got some tough games coming up and no tougher than the one they've got next.
If Arsenal were to win the Champions League, I think that would be a bigger achievement than winning the Premier League this year.
It's not a bad shot, to be fair.
It's my ring doorbell. Sorry, lads. Sorry, lads. Do you agree or not?
I'm 50-50 on that one. I can see where you're coming from, but I don't know. I just think the Premier League, I think that eludes Arsenal a little bit, especially over the last, like, I don't know, however many seasons. But I don't know, like you said earlier, I think Man City have been there and done it. Mm. They're kind of, I don't know, they're experts. And I think they actually enjoy, like, being in the position that we're in at the minute.
Yeah.
Kind of just below, just chasing, putting that pressure on Arsenal. I think, based on kind of the last couple of seasons where Arsenal have let it go at the last minute, I think that kind of, again, may play in the back of their minds to a certain degree. But I don't know. I'm enjoying the title kind of running at the minute.
What does your intuition tell you? Who's going to win the league?
Man City, based on their experience. I think it'll be Man City, Arsenal, and then Liverpool. And then after that, a bit of a free-for-all.
I agree with what you just said a minute ago, though, about Man City enjoying being in this position. I do. I really do get that impression that they're this real tight unit of lads and players and managers and owners, and they're all just going, we've got them where we want them. Mm. We've got them where we want them.
We're not surprised if they're sitting in the changing rooms going, they're laughing. Yeah. It's fine,
no pressure.
We are cooking. Their running is definitely easier. You mentioned the Arsenal running there. Can we just have a look at some of these fixtures that Arsenal have still got to play? So next one, obviously, away at Man City, the big boy.
3 points.
Whoever wins that, genuinely, whoever wins that, has to become favourite straight away, right? Regardless of what Liverpool do.
No. I think if, because it's Manchester City, they might lose to Arsenal, which is fair enough, but Arsenal along the way might draw a couple of games here and there, right? Man City, from they losing to Arsenal, could go and win every single game and bang, then they're driving City again. That's the worry.
They really could do that. So Arsenal still got to play Aston Villa, away at Wolves, home to Chelsea, away at Spurs, away at Man United.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Even away at Brighton, it's one of those fixtures you go...
Tough place to go, yeah.
Are we at that point of the season then, Danny, then, where every game you look at, right? So I don't care who you're playing, right? Once it gets to, like, squeaky bum time, as they call it, the end of the season, the last 10 or so games, you start to look at every fixture, and instead of going, it's a doddle, we're going to beat them 6-0, 7-0, you actually start to look at it and go, tough place to go, that is. Is that where we are?
That's where we're at. I think we've been there for the last 3 or 4 games, to be honest. I think that's where we're definitely heading towards anyway, if we're not there already.
Every single performance now, everything's going to get dissected. Everything's going to be talked about.
100%.
I'm looking at the run-ins here, and we'll put them on screen now. And Man City's, I can just see them winning every single one of them games. I can.
Typical
I really
Man City.
Can.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, Liverpool are tough. Like Spurs and Villa, I think, could have a decent say in this.
Well, I think Spurs play all of them, don't they?
And Villa.
Yeah,
Spurs so... and Villa. And Brighton, in fairness. And Wolves, in fairness.
It's ones like Brighton away, because I can remember back in the last season when Arsenal were pushing for the league title, Brighton came to the Emirates. 3-0.
Yeah, 3-0. Absolutely. Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Bournemouth 3-0, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And Arsenal just froze. And I don't think they'll do it this season, but going to Brighton, especially with them being out of Europe now, they've got nothing really to play for. Yeah, it's like, right, we're going to need to get in Europe again. It's going to be a difficult game, that.
Mm.
All right. So you still think Arsenal, Man City? I think Liverpool, lads.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it out there.
I do believe it.
I do. Jamie, haven't I said this over the last few weeks now? I do believe it. I just think they've found a way now. Players are coming back fit. I think they've found a rhythm of just winning games, lads. I do.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think that United result in the cup might just...
just knock them off the perch.
Knock them a little bit, yeah.
They under-18s, didn't they? right, enough of the top three, enough of the big boys. Let's talk about fourth, fifth and sixth, because this is a decent little racist, isn't it? I was on the TalkSport show, actually, a few weeks ago, Danny. West Ham fans were ringing in. They were fuming about David Moyes. I said, be careful of what you wish for. You know, you're seventh in the league. You're absolutely flying. Still, they absolutely mollied me because they... I think they want David Moyes gone.
Oh, yeah.
But they're seventh in the league. For, you know, that is incredible. But let's start at the fourth position. Aston Villa, 56 points. Tottenham in fifth on 53. And then it comes Man United, 6 points behind them. I think we're pretty sure that it's going to be Villa and Spurs in the fourth and fifth, which hopefully will be both Champions League this year as well, won't it?
I think it's a toss-up between, Villa and Tottenham for me, fourth and fifth. I think... I'd probably say Tottenham, to be honest. Tottenham fourth. Yeah.
What do you think of that? Your ex-Villa boy?
Do you know what? Well, makes both of them.
I forgot that massive money move you got to Spurs.
Do you know what? I just think Spurs might get fourth because they've got nothing else to focus on but that. Villa have still got Europe to contend with.
Yeah.
And I think they've got a great chance of winning that competition. So I think Spurs will pick them to fourth and then Villa fifth for sure.
How surprised have you been by Villa this season? Or have you been surprised? Because since Unai Emery took over last season, it just seems to have been a steamroll, isn't it? I think they're one of the top-rated clubs in Europe over the last like calendar year or something, Jamie, aren't they, for results? But it's some going, isn't it, to be mixing it with a big boys, Benny?
Yeah, I mean, some things just fit sometimes, and I think Unai Emery at Aston Villa just seems to fit. He's getting the best out of players. He's made big decisions along the way. And they're right up there on merit again. Yeah. It's one of those where they're putting the performances. I mean, they didn't lose a game at home for months.
Yeah, months.
Like, they made it their fortress. So, listen, fair play. And Unai Emery is an expert. He's a top-level manager. He should be in the championship.
Here's a good question, right? If Man United came knocking for Unai Emery tomorrow, if they sacked Ten Hag, came knocking for Unai Emery, would Unai Emery go?
I think it's a tough one. And I don't think it's as simple as people think, because it's Man United, isn't it?
Yeah.
And who doesn't want the Man United job? Mm. But does he want to leave what he's done, that kind of... I mean, they're going places for me. I think next season, I think they'll step up again.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's got a decent project to work on there. Going at Man U, you're obviously thinking about, obviously, all the history and the way they've been playing the last 5 or 6 seasons. It's not been great, has it? So, for me, if I was in his position, I'd be staying where I am. Give it another season and a half, 2 seasons.
I'm going to give my take on this in a minute, what would actually happen.
No, go on, you go first.
All right, I'll tell you what would actually happen, right, is if Man United wanted Unai Emery, they would say, so imagine Unai Emery at the minute, 100 grand a week he's probably earning, yeah? Mm. Man United come in and go, here's 300 grand a week, Unai, yeah? Do you want to come and manage us? And he goes, 300 grand a week? What, 5-year deal? Yeah, okay, so that's what we're talking, 15 million quid a year on a 5-year deal. He'll go, as long as you write it in the contract that I'm guaranteed 5 years' money. So if you sack me after a month, I'm guaranteed my 5 years' money. All right, sweet as a nut. It's worth 70, 80 odd million to him, yeah? Mm. He's going to go. It's as simple as that.
The ball's in his court then, because then he could use that as leverage at Villa. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very good point. Get the same amount of money.
Very good point. But he could ask for 150, 200 at least, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I almost feel like as well, with Unai Emery, it's... I'm sure he wants another crack at a top job. PSG, I know you manage PSG, but come on, you're going to win that league.
Mm.
He had the crack at Arsenal. I just think it came too soon for him after Wenger. You want to be the guy after that guy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. If they upped his money, Villa, it just seems more stable. Like they're going places at the minute. I know Manchester United, in terms of size of club, is arguably the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
But you've also got to look at the now. That this is not the same Manchester United from 10 years ago. Like, it's not the same club when you was there.
No chance.
They're completely different to what they were. So I think Unai Emery, I don't think it'd be as easy as that. I think if they upped his money a bit and he got guarantees, which he's getting at Villa, I think he might stay.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think he would stay, at least for another season or two, for me. He's got a decent project to work on there.
Would you guys do that? Would you guys do that, genuinely?
I know, I'm going to United.
you got to, isn't you? As a player, to play for Man United, you've got to.
But from his perspective, as a Villa manager now, there's less pressure, ain't there? So he can use it as an advantage for him.
Yeah,
goes
it's
to
nice,
Man U, he's got
it?
That
it's
pressure
nice,
straight
yeah.
away. You've got to pick the performances up. And yeah, for me, nah. Based on what's happened at Man United over the last few years with previous managers and that, like decent managers as well, and gone there and failed. Like, yeah.
But it's also what happens after that, because David Moyes arguably has probably done the best, but no manager's going on to a better place once they've managed United and go elsewhere.
Yeah, but he would have 75 million quid in his bank. 75 million
quid. He's probably got about 60 now.
I don't think he's struggling at the minute. Do you know what I mean?
How much money is enough money, eh? How much money is enough money? Okay, so we agreed that we think Spurs are probably going to get fourth ahead of Villa, yeah, just because of the European commitment.
Yeah. I think there'll be a point in it, something like that, yeah.
Okay, either way, we're looking forward to it. And then let's look at the other end of the table, the relegation fight. Obviously, I still think between now and the end of the season, we're still going to see a few fruity little point deductions going on all over the shop. And it's going to be carnage. Honestly, I think this is going to be carnage for years, lads, because we're going to have teams getting relegated. You're going to have teams in the Championship claiming they should have had points, that they should have had this, they should have
it's
had
messy.
So it's going to get messy, and I don't really know how to call it, to be honest with you. I just know that if you are Brentford, you're probably sitting there going, we're cushy, we've got our house in order, our books are clean, everybody else below us is probably going to get more points taken from us, and it's as simple as that. But as it stands today, looking at the league table, who are we thinking that's getting relegated? I think we're all agreed it's going to be Sheffield United and Burnley, but we want one more. Who's it going to be?
Do you know what's funny is that all season I was saying Sheffield United are gone, which they are, Burnley. All of a sudden, though, Burnley was to win a game.
I know, yeah.
And Forest struggling.
I know.
It's crazy. It's tight down there.
Back to back wins for Burnley. Back to back wins, and they're out of it.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, that is nuts.
It's so easy to write them off. And I know you can only go off like track records and like current form and stuff like that. And history tells us that you're only going to win one every 10 games or something like that. But if you can put a little back-to-backer in there, which is easily done.
Or even a win and a draw.
A win and a draw.
When you look at the table like that, and when you take the table for what it is, that's scary, ain't it, how tight it is? It's ridiculous. I didn't realise it was that tight. If I'm honest, I don't want Luton to go down. I like Luton. Just something about them. Like, they've come into the Premier League, they haven't really spent much money compared to the other teams and that, and then they've all stuck together, they've brought in some decent players. Barkley's doing well, Townsend's doing well. Yeah, I'd like them to stay.
There'll be a lot of Watford fans absolutely hating me for just saying I like Luton, by the way. And I don't mean it in that way.
Was that a derby?
Yeah, that was a derby, yeah.
Was it?
They're the big rivals, them two, yeah. That's the big one, yeah. What I mean is I like the way that they've approached
it. Glad you clarified that.
They've scored more goals than Manchester United. They've been in every single game they've played. Even when they've been pumped against Man City, they've been in the game. They're trying to push forward. They're trying to score goals. I love what Rob Edwards is doing. So come on, lads, you've got to give me a prediction. You've got to give me the one team that's going to be
Everton,
going down with Burnley.
I'm not saying Everton are going to go down, but I think they could get dragged into it even more, you know. Just looks a bit messy for
me. I'm going as is Forest, Burnley, Sheffield United.
Forest seem to be on a bit of a stinking run at the minute, don't they?
Yeah, I'll go with that as well.
I'm with you, lads. I'll stick with that as well. But the beauty is none of us knows. None of us know. We'll just wait and see. We've got
is there a chance that Forest could get points back? Or
probably.
Not?
Probably. I reckon there's a probability of anything like that.
That'd be carnage if that happened. It's carnage already.
It's carnage already. But
it's looking like this because of the points deduction.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise her, would it, lads?
There's no clarity on that point deduction thing. That's where the issue's coming in. There's no like set in stone. If you've done this, you get this amount of points deducted.
Yeah.
Just random at the minute.
But they're also talking about as well that we might not know the relegation until after the season finishes.
That's just worse.
That can't happen.
If that happens, that's a disgrace.
What's happened to our football, lads? What's happened to our football? We've got VAR now where you can't celebrate a goal until about 10 minutes after the goal's gone in.
Worst feeling in the world.
People are getting relegated. We can't celebrate staying up or getting relegated until after the season finishes.
But you all know, that moment you score a goal, it's like a split second where it's like euphoria. Like,
and you lose yourself.
You can't replicate that 10, 15 seconds later on or even 2 minutes after.
No.
What? It's just, crazy for me.
Okay, lads, Champions League is starting to get to the good rounds, isn't it? I'll admit, honestly, I don't even really watch the group stages.
I'm the same.
I want to see the good ones, the quarterfinals. I want to see the semi-finals. And we've thrown up some real spicy ties. Arsenal against Bayern Munich, Man City against Real Madrid. That is like the worst side of the draw ever, by the way. Benty, your boys, Arsenal, you genuinely think they've got a chance of winning the Champions League this year, don't you?
Yeah, I did until the draw came up.
But no,
do you know what? All I was saying to myself when the draw was being made is that I didn't want City. And I didn't want Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Because Atletico are one of them.
Grind you out.
And Arsenal struggling against Porto, who played similar tactics. Yeah. But listen, over two legs, Bayern Munich with their no home fans as well. So when they come to the Emirates, they can't bring any fans.
Yeah.
So that should stand them in good stead. So I think they'll get past Bayern, but having Real Madrid and Manchester City waiting for you, I think the winner will come from that side. And that's no disrespect to PSG and Barcelona, Atletico or Dortmund. But I think the four teams on that side of the draw are better than the other.
If Arsenal beat Bayern, who would you rather play out of Real Madrid or Man City?
Real Madrid.
You'd rather play them?
Yeah, I don't want City.
Yeah.
I do not want City. For whatever reason, City just... And this is the fear factor, and rightly so. This is the fear factor. They're putting absolutely every team in world football that at any given moment they could beat anybody.
Because they've been there and done it.
Yeah. Listen, do you think then, this is a good question, right? Do you think that playing Man City in the Champions League is a different mentality to playing Man City in the Premier League? Do you think it is? Playing them on a Wednesday night when that Champions League music comes out, do you think that gets in your head more than it does playing in the Premier League?
I'd probably say to a certain degree, but I think based on the fact that they played each other so many times, you know what you're going to get from Man City and it's going to be a tough game. Mm. So I agree with you, Benny. I can see Arsenal beating Bayern and then potentially getting Real Madrid. I think that would be an ideal scenario for Arsenal rather than Man City. I think if they get Man City, again, it's one of them where they think, oh, Man City, ain't it? Mm. Been there, done it. Tough game.
Do you get my point, at least? Do you get my point?
I get it.
What I'm saying about the Champions League. Do you know what I mean? It's the same game you're playing against Arsenal, against Man City. That's all it is, right? But if it's a Champions League game on a Wednesday night, Man City are winning. Yeah?
I think
Do you agree with me?
I think that plays into Man City's
Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
But if it's in the Premier League on a Saturday afternoon and the sun's shining...
I think it's a bit more 50-50.
A 50-50,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Also, it's one-off game.
How mad is that?
Yeah, Champions League with a two.
How mad is it?
Arsenal... retrospectively, we'll be going into that first leg, wherever it is, thinking we've got to make the scoreline close because Manchester City in the second leg. Do you know what I mean? And that's where the damage can be done.
Yeah.
Is that you're so much panicking
mentally,
about the second leg, you almost forget about the first leg. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, we've got to make sure that the second leg's close. Do you know what I mean? And like, I think Manchester City are just juggernauts. I really do.
Based on that, I don't think Man City would be thinking like that because it's Man City.
Yeah.
They'll just be comfortable. Whereas Arsenal, like you said, they'd be thinking about the second leg before even like playing the first leg.
We know what Man City are doing. Man City are sitting there and going, we got them where we want them.
That's it. That's it.
We got them where we want them, lads. Just keep it going. This is nice, this is. All right, then. And quickly, the FA Cup semi-finals. This is going to be a good little... I've actually loved the FA Cup this year, you know. Like, it's brought back like real nice memories for me. It should be celebrated in this country as well. It really should be celebrated. Man United versus Coventry, Chelsea versus Man City. I think Man City probably will end up getting through to the final, but I genuinely think Coventry could cause a bit of an upset against Man United.
I think they'll definitely cause a problem, and obviously going to Man U as well, naturally you're going to pick up your game anyway.
Yeah.
They've done well in the past games, so they're taking that confidence forward. I still think Man United are going to win, just based on the level of players that they've got and experience and stuff, but it's not going to be an easy draw. I mean, for me. It'd be nice to see Cov go through, but I can't see it happening.
Any FA Cup memories for you, Benty?
Not particularly. Just just a few goals in the competition, but no.
You had a little League Cup memory, didn't you? You got to the final once, didn't you?
Where's the MOM trophy? Where's your Man the Match trophy?
Which one? That one. There's two of them I've got.
that'd be a good time. And listen, Coventry fans get a doubt at Wembley anyway.
Yeah.
Which, even though I hate that the semi-finals at Wembley as well, it's always bugged me that as, but I like the days it was at Villa Park.
Yeah.
That used to be
You play at Hillsborough, they would play at Villa Park.
I like that.
Lovely, weren't it?
But listen, Coventry, fantastic. They're still trying to push for the playoffs and the champ as well, but I think it's going to be Manchester City, Man United in the final.
And probably a Man City win. First time they've ever done a back-to-back FA Cup win, Man City, have you know? Okay. I know they win the League Cup every year without fail, pretty much, but we'll see. We will see. And then finally, lads, for the quiz... the championship. Benty, your lads, Ipswich. The championship this year, right? It's the second best league in the world, lads.
What a league.
Isn't it? It's the second best league in the world. It's incredible from top to bottom. You could be in that relegation dogfight where there's probably about 12 teams that every one of them is thinking, oh, God, here we go. Mm. And if you're in that top four or five, you're thinking, we could do it. Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad. It is mad.
What a league.
I think even the top eight or nine in the champ.
Yeah.
I've got a chance of playoffs.
Playoffs.
Which is honestly scary, absolutely scary. But fair play to Ipswich, because a lot of people would have looked at Leeds, looked at Leicester, looked at Southampton and gone, well, they're the three definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ipswich have managed to get off to a good start and have found themselves wedged in there all season.
Yeah, yeah.
So now if they can just stay there, I mean...
What a job Kieran McKenna's done though, right?
Oh, massive.
That's the only worry. Is that because he's been phenomenal.
Mm.
And if Ipswich don't go up,
he'll be gone.
Yeah, well...
Where though?
There's so many people that are taking him, I think. Yeah. There's a West Ham potentially with David Moyes.
Yeah.
I know Palace have got their manager, but there'll be so many options for him, I think, that I think he'll be...
I'd like to see them go up though. It'd be sad to see them drop off now, having been there for
wouldn't it? But I keep thinking this. When I'm watching, I watch the results come in on a Saturday, and I just think, oh, Ipswich are probably going to fall short. They'll start any time now. But it just keeps coming.
Yeah.
They're scoring last minute winners. Mm. They're scoring. They're there. And I think this is incredible. Yeah. Leeds have come from absolutely nowhere.
They'll win it.
They've got momentum. What's happened to Leicester though, mate? Like what?
This is my worry here is for Leicester that they were so far ahead and I think they got into a comfort mode.
Reckon they took the foot off the gas.
But when you take your foot off the gas, you know, lads, don't you? It's hard to put your foot back down, isn't it?
Especially when everyone else is like pushing on. Leeds are.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. I do wonder if that points to that point investigation though. And Leicester's was just maybe a little bit
away somewhere.
A little bit, yeah.
Detracting from it. Go on, pick two out of them top three that you think are gonna go up automatically.
Ipswich Town, obviously. Ipswich and Leeds.
Ipswich and Leeds.
Leeds, Leicester. Yeah.
Danny, you don't believe that.
I do, man. Yeah, I do.
You don't believe that.
I'm with Danny, sorry, mate.
I've got to say Leicester. I used to play for Leicester, so I've got to say Leicester. Yeah.
Quickly, I wanted to ask you as well. You obviously Leicester, Bournemouth as well. When you were playing for Bournemouth, they were League One, League Two. Tiny little Bournemouth. We're talking like they used to get like 1,000 people come and watch the games.
Well, a little bit more than that, but
I'm trying to sell a rags to riches. Could you have seen what has happened to Bournemouth? That sort of that rise, that meteoric rise. Could you have seen it back in the day?
I think it would be easy for me to sit here and say, yeah, but no. Nah, because when we were down there, we were like, yeah, we're a decent team at that level. Yeah. But yeah, to see like the infrastructure that they've got in place now and the level of players and the money that's there... And for them to be in like consistently in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's the word, consistently in the Premier League. It's some doing, isn't it?
I didn't see that coming. And if you ask anyone else, like Eddie Howe used to be my captain, and Jason Tindall at Newcastle now, he used to be in my team as well. But if you ask any of them guys, they'd probably say the same as me. Like, I never seen that. I couldn't ever predict that happening.
Was Tindall as flashy as what we all see on the media?
To be honest, I always say this, like Tindall's not flash.
Yeah.
And that tan is it's just a natural tan. I don't know where he gets it from. He's not flashy. He's a top guy. I like Tindall. I like Howe as well. They're both top guys, but yeah. He does come across.
He gets absolutely rinsed in the internet is what he does. Yeah. He gets rinsed.
Yeah, I know.
He's always at the front of the photo.
He's always been like that though. I'll be honest, he's always been like that, but he's a nice guy.
Right, lads, it's quiz time. Danny, what's your ball knowledge like?
Oh, so average. Poor.
But Benty's is all right. This should be fun. By the way, check out Danny's podcast, by the way, Back of the Net and Beyond. Basically, it's for sort of athletes that are making that sort of transition, that transition into not being an athlete anymore, basically.
Yeah, basically, so I speak to current and former athletes who are transition out of sport, so any sport, into the working world. Making people aware that athletes have got transferable skills. Sometimes, as you know, you get pigeonholed. You just play football, that's all you know. You play tennis, that's all you know. And in reality, it's not. So, and generally when speaking to athletes, you find out that the transition from sport to another career is quite difficult sometimes for various reasons, whether it be financial or just kind of from a mental perspective. So just about getting that message out there for athletes and also for kind of industry leaders and organisations and companies, really. So, yeah.
Well, lovely. We'll put a link in the description down below. You've done a fantastic job today. I know that, so well done. Right, quiz time. I'm about to bust you all up. Let's go. Come on. Right, quiz time. Jamie, 10 questions. Are you ready to go, yeah?
Yeah, we are ready. A little twist this week. It's all international-based questions.
Oh.
Yeah,
so. I was struggling anyway.
It'll be a low-scoring round.
I'm not winning this, then. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
This will be a low-scoring round.
Okay, question one. Can you name one of the three teams to win the Euros on home soil?
Germany.
No.
Is that him out? That's France, out. 98.
You get one question and you're out.
France.
France is the correct answer. Yeah. 1984.
Oh,
98.
It was World Cup as well. It was a World Cup in 98.
You also had Spain and Italy.
Nice.
1-0 to Britain. Question two. Who did Zidane headbutt in 1986?
Materazzi. Oh, wow.
Ben. You're quicker than that.
I've got that as well.
Marco. Oh, Marco.
Yep. Question three. Which Arsenal striker scored for Germany this week?
Havertz.
Havertz is the correct answer. That was
cool. I don't know football.
I don't know football.
But
we're all square then. One.
Here.
Yeah. Question four. Northern Ireland's Jamie Reid scored on his international debut against Romania this weekend. However, which League One team does he play for?
Who?
Jamie Reid scored on his international debut against Romania this weekend. However, which League One team does he play for?
It was a full League One fixture this weekend, though. Are they allowed to play? Yeah, so he just has to miss the game? That's bang out of order.
Jamie Reid plays for...
Don't you dare
League
give
one.
Him...
League One.
I don't even know any.
Grimsby.
No.
Derby County.
No. 5, 4, 3, 2.
I don't even know. I don't want to guess and embarrass myself.
Stevenage.
Oh, never got that. Sorry, Jamie.
Sorry, lads. Question five, career path question. Ooh. I have played for Charlton, Brentford, Aston Villa.
Konza.
Konza's the correct answer. Benny just got it in before.
I don't know who's at Brentford, eh?
Yeah.
2-1-1. Question six. Who won the World Cup in 2018?
France
is the correct answer.
Wow, in my head, I don't know why I thought it was 2002 or
something. It's froze.
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Question seven. Who is the Republic of Ireland's current interim coach?
It's O'Shea.
O'Shea is the correct answer.
I heard him on TalkSport talking the other day. That's the only reason I know.
I've never got that anyway. Stubbs here now. Wouldn't have answered it.
John O'Shea.
Oh, John O'Shea.
Yeah.
Nothing that, actually.
Shea.
Yeah. There we go.
3-2-1.
Danny takes the lead, yeah. Question eight. Endrick was the youngest male to score a senior international career goal. Who is the youngest to score at Wembley?
Endrick.
Rooney.
Endrick is the correct answer. Sort of a trick question. I thought I'd try and trick you out. But
heard it yesterday.
What?
Endrick, ain't it?
Correct.
Repeat the question.
They said it after the game, didn't they?
Who is the youngest male to score a senior international career goal at Wembley?
Endrick.
Endrick is the correct answer. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He just answered it.
Yeah, I know.
Why are you giving it to him?
No.
I've just reread the question.
No, let me read the question that you've written down. Who is the youngest male to score a senior international career goal at Wembley? You said you started the question
differently. Yeah, I said it differently because in the back of my head, Luke told me to say it differently.
So what did you say then?
I said Endrick. I actually don't know what I said.
Either way, I got the point. Move on.
4-2-1.
Shambles.
I know I'm getting this one. Come on.
I can't win. It's my quiz. This ain't fair.
Unlucky Ben, unfortunate. Question nine. How many Ajax players were in the Dutch squad for this international?
None.
None is the correct answer.
That's you lot. Because I think Hendo was the only international that went somewhere.
Yeah, I think so. So it's all even at the moment.
No, 4-3.
4-3-1. So Ben can just ruin it for Benny.
I won't. I'll leave it.
Question you are now.
10. Can you name one of the England teams that they'll face in their group in the Euro 2024?
What?
That's not worded, right?
Sir.
One of England's opposition in 2024?
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said one of the England teams.
Can you name one of the teams in England's group
there you
in
go.
Euro 2024?
Oh my goodness, I've no idea. Well, I wonder if there's Paul Sack out somewhere.
I don't know.
One of the teams that they face in Euro 2024.
I don't know what our group is. Ukraine?
No.
I have no clue.
Guess.
I know, I'm going to go with...
Mate.
This is a big...
How do we not know what England's group is in Euros? It's a Euros. Mm-hmm. Like in a few months' time.
I'm not even going to guess. I don't want to embarrass myself. Nah.
I'm going with...
5.
Sweden.
No.
Oh, that's it, Dan.
That's it. Danny's won the quiz.
So who's in our group?
Serbia.
Yeah.
Denmark and Slovenia. Oof.
I didn't know that.
There we go. That's it.
I'll take the win, lads.
Danny has got the win. Well done, Danny.
Against two stutters as well. Love that.
Oh, wow. There you go. That's the quiz. That was a football fill-in. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a bit of an international breaky one. A bit of Premier League talk. Champions League. Boys, absolutely fantastic. Danny, check out his podcast in the link down below. Benty, as usual, world class. Well done, boys.
Cheers for having me.
Football fill-in. Jamie, your quiz question was terrific.